All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight?
Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Hello, gentlemen.
What's up?
How are you guys?
Okay.
Here.
Warm.
Warm. Warm is good.
I'm warm.
It's warm in here.
I solved my heat problem.
That's good. You know, I've had a heat problem for the past week as well. I have an older home with radiators, steam heat, which actually I love. I love steam heat. It's not that dry heat. Doesn't kill you. You don't wake up all nasty in the morning. You know what I mean? So I had my boilers cleaned last week. Well, apparently the previous owner of my home... At least the boiler is new, but they didn't clean it very well the last couple of years before
so
I bought it.
Dirty.
So it was very dirty. So the return got clogged. So the way the steam heat works, heats it up, sends it through the pipes, but the water eventually has to return to the boiler.
Right.
Yeah, that wasn't happening. So I would get heat for like an hour, and then it would turn off because there was no water because it was surging. So anyway, I fixed
it. Gotcha.
But I've learned a lot about boilers in the last week. I've changed a few valves.
Wow.
I've opened up a couple of things and... done some cleaning.
It's kind of impressive.
Well, you know, I've all of the things I've learned, you know, I've learned a lot being a renter for years, and I know basic fixings.
Boy, is that true.
Well, but you know, you learn fuses and those sorts of things, right?
Sure.
In general, home maintenance I can do and yard work, all that kind of shit. But electricity and plumbing I've never had to do before.
If you're still in a house with fuses, you got to get the fuck out.
Well, one of the first things I did in this house, there was a random fuse box in my basement that just powered the washer and dryer.
Gone.
But literally, I think I was here 2 days, and the electrician was like, you need to come and fix this. And it was like $50, and he just, you know, he popped it out and fixed it.
Right.
A hard line, and it was fine. But,
good.
But yeah, no, fuck fuses. I remember one apartment I lived in, every winter, right, or actually, yeah, I think it was maybe in the fall, I would go to the hardware store and buy all of the fuses he had for that one type. It was the blue ones. Was that 15 amps or whatever
it was?
And I would keep them in a Tupperware because come like storm season.
Was
and
that
then
Clifton?
It was not Clifton. No. I don't even know that there was heat in that apartment. That apartment, there was a different kind of heat. It was fueled by rage and hatred. But no, it was Bloomfield.
Oh,
it was my first Bloomfield apartment.
The first Bloomfield.
Yeah, in the complex.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I would just buy... like literally boxes and boxes of fuses because because once, you know, one blows and then it's not, you don't flip a switch if you don't have one. You better hope there's a 24-hour Home Depot somewhere.
Yep.
But anyway, of course, all three of us are here this week, so that's lovely.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
And this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 309.
Let's talk about heat.
Let's talk about heat.
No, that's not what it's called.
The heat is on.
The heat is on. There you go. The road to Geek Flea. Because we were completely uncreative.
Not as exciting as The Heat is On.
Not as creative as The Heat is On. Too darn cold.
you're using up all the good titles. We're clearly going to use all of those later on.
At some point.
Just ruin them all. Spoiler alert.
So I think, unless you guys have something else you want to discuss in the pre-show chatter.
Nope.
We will move on with the show.
Awesome.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
Five. So I didn't watch any trailers this week.
Were there any?
Did you? I think there was a Muppet trailer. There was another RoboCop International trailer. Which
didn't we talk about how International trailers are dumb fucking retarded name?
And they shouldn't have them.
Can't we just stop pretending like RoboCop is going to be a movie?
Yes, we can.
It looks cool.
And there was a Muppets trailer, but I did not watch that
in
Muppets
1985,
trailer.
It looked cool.
Actually, I liked RoboCop. The director thought it was going to be terrible, and it caught on.
Yes, it was one of those.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the problem is when they try to redo it and make it serious, it looks like every other fucking movie on the planet.
Yeah, the problem is exactly. He's in a tactical suit, and it's it seems.
We'll see. We're all gonna go see it, even though we claim that we won't. Like it's clear that we're all gonna be
there, but I'll probably watch it on the DVD.
Yeah, in the theater. To me, this seems like a Judge Dredd kind of movie where one day you'll be like, "Oh, it's on Netflix. That wasn't as bad as I thought."
Except
because you're watching it on Netflix.
Except that. People were actually excited for Judge Dredd. It still didn't do well, but people actually did want to see that movie.
I guess. So I'll talk about some stuff.
Yeah, go for it.
If that's okay first. One, I saw Almost Human.
It's on my DVR.
Me too. Both
I want to watch it.
So we can talk about it, then we'll talk about it later. But
I've heard mixed reviews.
You know what? I liked it.
Okay.
I did.
Not really a touchstone.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, it's... It gets all of the cliche shit that they have to get out of the way
in the first
episode.
So the second episode,
I don't know. I haven't seen the second episode.
Does he talk like
Well, you know, it was a two-night premiere.
Was it?
It was two episodes. Sunday and Monday.
Well, hey.
So you've seen the first hour.
I have.
Second.
That's bad.
Okay.
Well, I did that on purpose. Anyway, for the first hour, it's iRobot.
Okay.
Does he talk like McCoy?
No.
That's too bad.
It's iRobot pretty much.
Right.
And they get but they deal with all the stuff
right.
Like, oh, he hates them, but he doesn't hate them, whatever. In an hour, and then you're done, and then hopefully it continues from
and
there.
Then
but
it
I don't
goes
know yet.
To buddy cop movie.
But the robot
buddy cop show.
Is the robot more human than the
guy? You know, but they're not like bashing you in the head with it. It's just that these are two broken people. One is a robot.
Get it?
That's it.
Broken.
Hey.
Okay. What I found funny or interesting, I guess, is that it's clearly futuristic, right?
Yeah.
But it's not so far in the future.
It's 2048.
Like Dredd.
So my thought are they really trying to sell us on the fact that we'll be that advanced in 2048? I don't know that. I think it would have been an easier sell if you gave me another 50 years to pad out that robot.
Maybe not. But
what alien technology is going to show up here?
Fair enough.
You don't know what breakthroughs are going to be made science?
Fair enough.
But the biggest... I think why they do that is so that it's still believable because clearly they don't have $100 million per episode.
Right, and clearly they're still wearing like SWAT vests.
Right.
Like
however, I will say that it is pretty convincing, and it's interesting to see now the special effects on TV are almost movie quality. Like I really believe, you know, all the stuff they were trying to do, it looks really believable as opposed to like, wow, they need a better budget.
Unlike a Chris Angel stunt. Where it's clearly fishing line and green screen.
Yeah, yeah. No, it looks pretty good.
He's Siri with a body.
It's definitely, So Almost Human, I guess I should watch hour two.
I forget the kid, not Carl Urbane, the other one, is playing the robot.
Michael Ealy?
He was in Sleeper Cell.
Yes.
Sleeper Cell was an awesome show,
of course,
that's
what he's most well known for, not the barbershop movies.
Was he in the barbershop movies?
Yes, he was the lead kid in the barbershop.
Oh God,
movies.
Was he?
Yeah. And I can only see him in those movies. Every time I see him in anything, it's terrible. I know, short sighted of me. but I just see him as the character from the Barbershop movies, of which I'm a big fan, I should point
Rosa
out.
Rosa Parks didn't do such a potato. It's the funniest part.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
Both of them, really.
Oh, he's great.
But in the first one, it was just so out of left field that you were like, wow, they went right there?
Yeah.
And the second thing I'll talk about, Men of Tai Chi.
Okay.
Don't fucking pay to see that movie.
I had no intention
of
paying.
So
it's Keanu Reeves.
No, it's fucking terrible. My friend was really all about, oh, Keanu Reeves in the trailer. It looks like he can act. And I said, ha, ha, ha. That's nonsense. Guess what?
No.
I'm right. I will say this. The fight scenes are awesome.
Okay.
Truly awesome fight scenes.
But fight scenes in a movie do not make.
If I want fight scenes in Keanu Reeves, I'll watch The Matrix again.
Right.
Well, I would, if you're into fight scenes, maybe someone has uploaded just the fight scenes on YouTube. Check it out. If you can bootleg it or get it quickly, you know, I'm not recommending that. It's not the views of the show.
If I want to see fight scenes,
but hypothetically,
I will see Legend of the Drunken Master again.
Wait, there's untapped potential here.
Yeah.
All those, you know, everything that's wrong with YouTube videos. How about we start doing everything that's right with, and we can do just the fight scenes.
There you go.
We'll start with this one. Just the fight scenes from the man.
That makes sense.
All right. Fair enough. How about we talk about Doctor Who a little bit?
I would be honored to talk about
because
Doctor
this
Who.
Saturday, of course, is the 50th anniversary special.
I never thought I would be excited to see anything related to Doctor Who, and unfortunately, I am now hooked in this fucking universe.
And you are fully caught up.
I am fully caught up.
And somehow you are more caught up than I am.
that did happen. Yeah.
Okay,
that's pretty amazing.
So there
because you've been watching for a few years.
Yeah, really. So there was a special that was, you know, someone had a ruin it for everybody kind of deal in that BBC was scheduled to release this special called The Night of the Doctor on the 22nd.
Yeah.
However, someone got the video, threatened to leak it. And so they leaked it a week ago.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. They leaked it.
Oh, I thought it was just supposed to be a week ago.
No.
This was supposed to be a night before, like, let's tickle your balls kind of
literally
thing.
It was supposed to be the night.
Got it. Didn't realize.
Of course the exciting part about this is that, it's the return of the Eighth Doctor, which only appeared in that shitty movie. But he actually looks pretty good as opposed to what he was in that shitty movie.
Right.
And you also see the transformation sort of between him and the Ninth Doctor, not really Ninth Doctor,
8.5.
War Doctor, Doctor of War,
the Lost, the Lost Doctor.
The Lost Doctor, John Hurt.
There you go.
Is really Hurt. What it is. But really, what was it, about 8 minutes long, 10 minutes long, something like that?
It's like seven or eight, yeah.
It accomplished a lot.
Yeah, I was impressed. It's really good short form.
And it's
Moffat, so.
Right. It's also a callback to what I think was a Fourth Doctor episode.
With the planet where they're all immortal.
And
that
the sisters and that whole
thing. I was clearly a reference to something that I didn't get because I never watched the classic Doctor Who. But it was really interesting.
Really good, yeah.
Good. Check it out. And it reminds you of all the weight of the Time War, which is clearly what they're going to deal with as a war doctor.
Right.
It reminds you everything.
Well, and they introduced the concept of that they could, these sisters in the can control the transformation.
The one thing that they did point out again is male or female. Yes, and they're hammering that home that, hey, guess what, guys?
Because it's inevitable.
Theoretically.
Because I have no doubt in my mind that the 13th Doctor is going to end up being a female doctor.
I don't think
which I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that at all.
Will it be River Song, though?
No, not at all.
She's dead at this point.
Ooh, spoiler Jesus.
Oh,
and then Day of the Doctor, which you haven't seen.
Right.
It's back to being able to see Matt Smith and Jenna Louise Coleman. I forgot her name in the show, I'll be honest with you. Back together again, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
They're just kind of hanging out in a museum. The Fez comes back. It's all kind of, and then he sees like a magical portal open up, jumps into it, and it's him comes face to face with David Tennant, and then they end.
Okay.
And that is such a tease. But I'm very excited.
There's a third one also.
Yes, you told me about this. Yeah.
That was supposed to be free on iTunes.
Yep.
But according to BBC, iTunes and Apple screwed up and started charging for it. And they were charging people for it for like a week, and then it got pulled. And now it's nowhere to be found. So,
seriously?
Yeah, and it's supposed to be found footage. I think it's going to appear on the DVD that eventually comes out in December. But it's supposed to be found footage from like a helmet cam of someone that's fighting in the Time War. I don't know. It sounds
What's it called?
I forget.
It's called Not Available on iTunes. Are you deaf? You're trying to look it up, and he said it's not there.
I'm
going to
find it.
Let's move
You're
forward.
You're not going to find it.
Let's move forward with the rest of the show.
Okay.
Shall we? Let's start with the Star Wars news.
The Star Wars news?
Star Wars news.
Okay.
No one is shocked that R2-D2 is going to be in episode
7. It's just so dumb. This and is not what, news. 2 weeks from now, are we going to hear that C-3PO will also be in the... come on.
The interesting part of this story is who's doing R2-D2. Or who's created R2-D2 for the film.
Oh, that's different, because doing is a whole nother...
Yeah. So, apparently, a group of fans, Lee Towersley and Oliver Steeples, who are droid builders, they're part of the R2-D2 Astromech Droid Builder Club.
Yeah, yeah,
they met Kathleen Kennedy on a whim at Germany, in celebration in Germany. And they made a joke to her about, oh, if you ever need help, reach out to us. And she did. And they've been hired to create droids for the film, including R2.
That's pretty cool.
I think Oliver.
Yes.
Maybe the guy that we know.
Okay.
With the kid.
Okay.
That may be him.
I'm not sure.
Just really quickly, update, totally free, totally on iTunes.
Oh.
It's called it's called The Last Day.
Yeah, what I read this afternoon from BBC America, their press release, was that it had been pulled. So maybe it had since been re-released after the press release. That's possible.
Scapegoat, we've moved on to exciting news.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Hey, I want to make sure that as a show, we get some of our information accurate.
I have two things to look forward to now.
Doctor Who skizzle off to the side.
Let's talk about Preacher.
Let's do it.
So there is some possible rumor that AMC will be bringing Preacher to the airwaves. And Seth Rogen is somehow involved.
Oh, God,
He put out a tweet earlier this week. Looks like about 7 years of hard work are about to pay off. I may get to bring one of my favorite stories ever to life. And then he followed that up with another tweet that said, Arseface, John Wayne, the Saint of Killers. Which, of course, are Preacher references.
Right.
So two things. Please don't let Seth Rogen be involved with the Preacher series. And please don't put Preacher on AMC.
Yeah.
It doesn't belong on AMC. It belongs on Netflix. It belongs on HBO. It belongs on Showtime.
Well, we know the HBO deal fell through.
Right. Well, AMC can get pretty edgy. If it had to go...
They can't get Preacher edgy. Have you read Preacher?
Yeah.
They can't get Preacher edgy.
Yeah, you're right.
They can get edgy. They can get a little violent. They can't get Preacher edgy.
Well...
You know, you would know exactly how violent they got if, say, you were watching The Walking Dead.
I would, except that I have chosen to no longer watch The Walking Dead.
I will say, so do you think they could do it?
But Game of Thrones.
Wait, do you think AMC could do...
Game of Thrones is slower than
This is a question, not rhetorical. Yes. You think AMC could do Preacher?
Do I think AMC could do Preacher? It doesn't matter what I think. If that's what the deal is, they're going to do Preacher, and it's going to be cleaned up
to
the point that AMC will be allowed to air it, and that's what's going to happen. Yeah. So here's what we can do. We can either, you know, we can be geek mudgeons about it and be like, AMC, they're going to change it. You know, just like, I don't know, they change every fucking thing that is once literary and goes to video. It's a pointless argument. Can they do it? Irrelevant. They're going to, whether we feel they can or they can't.
All right.
The Walking Dead is a great example of this, but you guys don't agree.
A great example of what? How they should adapt something?
How they are adapting things.
Right.
Just like...
By using it as a storyboard.
Anything else.
All right.
Okay.
I just don't think AMC is the right platform for that.
Netflix is a good call. There's a bunch of stuff coming to Netflix now. Did you see they signed all kinds of exclusivity?
So we didn't talk about this last week.
The Marvel deals?
The Marvel stuff. Somehow we skipped this last week.
Yeah, is that the story? Yeah.
But so Netflix signed a deal with Marvel Disney to bring four shows. Well, actually, it's five shows.
Yeah. Marvel Disney Lucas.
Yeah, Marvel Disney Lucas. Five shows to the platform in, what, 2015?
Yeah, let's talk about those shows.
Daredevil.
Which is kind of interesting.
Right.
But kind of like, really, Daredevil?
Right.
Because Daredevil to me seems more feature film. Not because he's already been one.
Right.
It just seems like a more marquee character.
See now.
However, and compared to the other ones, he's definitely more of a marquee character.
He is definitely more of a marquee character. However, I could very easily see, and I think I could very easily find enjoyable, a serialized Daredevil story.
Yeah.
Probably.
You know, each week, he tackles something else in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, but that's not what it's going to be if it's on Netflix. Netflix is going to be one series, one story, you don't think?
The
way that it's digested, it's gotta have, you know, the subplot is an overarching.
I think that it will be one story, but I think there will be individual stories within each one.
Right, that's what we're talking. Yeah. The subplot is an overarching thing.
I think it's still gonna be serialized like to a certain
X-Files.
Degree.
Yep.
What were the other ones? Jessica Jones.
Which is just weird.
That character was always kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
I didn't hate her, I didn't love her, just kind of was. Luke Cage,
yeah,
which is no shock.
Luke
to me,
Cage,
because they've been toying and teasing with that forever. And Iron Fist,
and
that's
what,
the weird one.
And at what point
is this going to be part of the cinematic universe?
Well, we'll get to it.
Okay. I would say probably yes. And at what point do they combine those two shows and just have Power Man and Iron Fist?
Well,
isn't
so
that
fifth,
supposed to happen?
Well, the fifth does thing
in the books forever.
The fifth thing that they announced is after those four shows run their course, they're going to do a Defenders show.
That's right.
With some of those characters
right.
or all of those characters somehow involved. Now, all of those characters have not traditionally been part of the Defenders.
Like Daredevil.
But, you know, if they toy with it somehow or they try to figure out a way to do it, I don't know how that's going to work.
Where's Valkyrie? Where's Black Knight?
Right. Clearly, there are a lot of people that should be in the Defenders. And
Where's Gargoyle?
Who knows?
They could show up in the Defenders.
Right. Well, who knows if they choose to bring one or two people unique to the Defenders outside of the scope of the four shows? We don't know.
Right.
But since we're talking about Marvel shows real quick, let's talk about
SHIELD. Wait, is it going to be part of the cinematic universe?
Well, we don't know.
Oh.
But
I thought you were like, hold on, I'll get to
no,
it.
No.
No, but, we don't know. Okay.
But
it makes sense that they would be.
I think that they're all part of the cinematic universe.
I think that's why they're choosing characters that are this
Correct.
Far away.
Correct. And I think that whether or not they'll eventually transition into a feature film, be it solo or companion to something else, will have to be seen.
We'll see them in SHIELD.
But I think as long as they're all under the Marvel Disney banner, they will all be part of the same universe. It doesn't make any sense for them to do it otherwise.
I agree. They'll show up in a SHIELD episode.
Right.
Or SHIELD will spin off into it or something.
Somehow they will all tie in.
Yeah.
Let's talk
Which
about
is kinda
SHIELD,
cool.
though.
Let's talk about SHIELD.
Are you up to date
with
SHIELD?
Yeah.
Right. And you're up to date because you just finished
I did just finish the episode.
Recording. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think a Thor tie-in episode was not a Thor tie-in episode.
It was cool
that they dealt with it.
Right.
You know, but basically, we talked about Thor last week a little
right.
bit. Basically, you know, crazy thing happens. They show up. They're picking up rubble.
Right.
And suddenly it's a different story.
Well, yeah, but look. It's a different story that still has to do with something with Thor.
I agree. They dealt with Asgardians and stuff, and that was cool. But it's not like it literally cleaned up Thor.
But it was smart in that regard.
Yeah, because otherwise, if you hadn't seen Thor,
but you're watching SHIELD, they had to make... Remember, we said this last week. They had to make it stand alone on its own enough where you didn't need to see one to see
it
the
other. It absolutely did that.
Right.
SHIELD is hemorrhaging ratings.
Yep.
Is it really?
Every week is lower than the week before.
Yep.
Ooh.
And I understand why.
Wow.
I'm still enjoying the show,
you
but it's not
getting,
a great show.
You think it's getting geekier and geekier?
No,
it's not even that.
Geekier.
That's the point. It's not getting geekier and geekier.
I just don't think that it's great.
And I just
don't think the premise
that they laid out was that they would be finding these other beings, and how many have they found?
But
zero.
Now, season two has already been confirmed. I'm pretty positive.
Is it greenlit?
I believe it's been greenlit. And there was some rumor and speculation and some chatter today or yesterday that there's going to be a Winter Soldier tie-in next season and a return to Nick Fury.
I thought that's confirmed that there is a Captain America.
We had been talking about Cap showing up maybe in the season finale, but they've officially confirmed a Winter Soldier tie-in. And I think they've confirmed Fury returning to the show as well in at least one episode.
Okay.
The reason it's hemorrhaging is because the premise that they laid out for this before it came out is not the show that they provided.
Yeah, it's
people are tuning in because they want to see other representations of Marvel characters being done, and every time they tease one, like they tease the guy in the what you call it in the pilot, who we all thought was Luke Cage or somebody. Oh. Then they teased a guy who clearly should have been Sunfire.
Right.
And he wasn't. And, you know, like, they keep missing the mark. And the mark is they sold this show as this is going to be Marvel's chance to introduce some of these, even if they're lower level characters
sure.
that you've heard of, into this universe. And they haven't done that. Not at all.
Right.
And that's why they're hemorrhaging viewers.
They're not hemorrhaging. If I'm looking at ratings here, they went up from episode 7. It's leveling out. I mean, they went from 12 million to 7 million.
That's a significant drop.
Oh, absolutely. But it's that level out. It's not like they're going from 7 million to 4 million.
When I see the ratings, like I read the ratings reports normally during the day. And I know I read it this morning, and I'm pretty positive I read it last week, that there was a drop the last 2 or 3 weeks. There's been a little bit of a drop each week.
From episode 5, it was 7.39 to 6, 7.15 to 7, 6.67. Last week was 6.89, so it's leveling high six, low seven. That is way down from the 12 million.
Okay, so maybe it was hemorrhaging, and now it's still bleeding, and if it keeps going, it's going to bleed out.
That is also possible. It could be like, oh, we hit a capillary, not an artery.
You know what? Right. And the problem is, it's very simple. This is not the show that they sold.
It's not the show that people were expecting, exactly. For sure. Absolutely.
It's not even the one they were expecting. It's the one that they were told they were getting.
Sure. Let's talk about comic book TV shows.
Go on. One
that continues to do better and better each week.
Is it The Walking Dead?
It is not The Walking Dead. Okay. It is Arrow.
Oh.
Arrow is continuing to do better every week.
Really?
And three or four big things this week.
I still got to watch
four
that
things
show.
This week surrounding Arrow. First of all, Entertainment Weekly, the new one that comes out either this week or next week, there is a shot.
Complete spoiler. No, sorry. Just
not
kidding.
Really. There is a shot. He does get the mask.
Okay.
As opposed to the stupid paint that he's had on his face in some of the episodes. So he's getting the Green Arrow mask. And this is all part of this. There's a storyline going on right now in the show where he's transitioning from the Hood and the Vigilante into Arrow and Green Arrow. And
when does he get the goatee?
Maybe not. Maybe never. So there's that. The CW has changed what they want to do with the Flash pilot and Barry Allen. They are actually they're not doing that backdoor pilot that we had talked about earlier.
Yeah.
They're just doing a Flash pilot.
Okay.
Now, to me, this is dangerous ground.
Yeah.
They're introducing Barry Allen is it this week's episode? I think this week's and next week's episode, the character of Barry Allen will be on the show. The problem with doing just a pilot now and pulling it out of Arrow is that sometimes pilots don't make it past pilot. So
that
you
is
may
true.
Never actually get to see the Flash as the Flash now if the pilot isn't well received.
I don't think so. Do you think so?
Well,
who can say?
I don't know. Who could say? It's going to be clearly it has to be different than what Arrow is, right? So we hope that we see it and that it's good. But if it stinks, if it's like the Wonder Woman pilot... Right? We never actually saw that happen. The other thing, some casting news for the show. Or actually, two casting news for the show. Let's see. What's her name from? Katrina Law, who's on Spartacus, has just been cast, or who was on Spartacus, has just been cast as Nissa Al Ghul, which is Talia's half-sister, daughter to Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
So they're continuing with the League of Assassins storyline, and that's going forward. And then also, actor, whose name is eluding me right now, Jesus Christmas, has been teasing that he may or may not be playing Nightwing on an upcoming episode of the show. What the fuck is his name? Oh, did I not print it? Oh, I suck. I might not have printed it. Oh, I blow. Anyway,
maybe put the show on hold and maybe...
Yeah, I'll look it up real quick. Nope, I'm just a moron. I had it. Just couldn't find it. Actor Steve McQueen. Who you would not know from The Vampire Diaries, because I don't think anybody in this room watches The Vampire Diaries.
Well. You may know him from The Great Escape.
Different Steve McQueen.
Oh.
Has been teasing playing Nightwing. He's been talking about that. He's had some chats with the writers, and he tweeted a picture of himself working out, you know, with the caption, "I'm preparing for Nightwing." DC has actually just registered a bunch of Nightwing trademarks yesterday and today as well.
Interesting.
So that always leads to something big.
Nightwing TV show.
Well, they've already teased Bloodhaven. Is it Bloodhaven?
Yeah, Bloodhaven.
They've already teased Bloodhaven on Arrow. And there have been a lot of talks about possibly bringing Nightwing in. And there's been some talks about Nightwing maybe making an appearance in Batman, Superman as well. As a matter of fact,
tying it all together.
Yeah, one of the producers this week leaked or didn't leak or, you know, secretly snuck out there as a feeler, said something about Robin. You know, the Batman and Batman versus Superman is an older, angry Batman who's no longer talking to Robin. Something along those lines. So there's a lot of wiggle here, but Arrow continues to do great. Last week's episode was really good. And yeah, so there you go. Arrow news.
I like it.
And I think I only have Kickstarter related things before we move into the second segment.
Ooh,
of the show.
Kickstarter.
Does anybody have anything else?
Xbox One comes out Friday.
Xbox One does come out Friday.
Yep.
You got a PS4.
I did get a PS4.
No, getting both.
No problems with your PS4?
No. I saw a couple of I mean, it's a really, really low failure rate if you look at it.
Well, there's a couple of different problems.
Yeah.
There's the...
Two of them are really fixable, and one is like, you're fucked.
There's the HDMI port problem.
Yes.
Is that the you're fucked one, or is that the fixable one?
That's the one where they tell you to do everything possible because you can't see an error message. So Sony was literally like, well, do this and then also do this and then try a different HDMI and then try a different TV and then try. And if that doesn't work, call us.
Yeah.
You know, there's not really a.
And then there's a hardware crash.
Blue light of death.
Right.
They're calling it
on a couple of them.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But again, the percentage is like
0.4 or something.
Yeah. It's like ridiculously low.
Yeah. It's like 4,000 units out of a million.
Right.
If you're the guy, though.
Oh,
it
sucks.
It.
100%
course,
sucks.
But you know what,
I think
though?
It is the largest console launch, though, and they're about to break even on hardware, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but most consoles
take
4 years for them to break even.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. The controller is way better if that's one of your main concerns from the PS3. Controller feels a lot better in your hands. I've only played one game so far, and holy crap, is that game pretty.
What game?
Killzone.
Oh, it was
really, really, really pretty.
You're excited to play the game you've had now.
Is it good?
Right.
Yeah, no.
But it's pretty.
But it is pretty.
But you know what, though? To be quite honest with you, I've never been a huge fan of the Killzone franchise.
Neither have I. Neither has anyone.
It's always looked kind of pretty.
I think we all know, we all got a PS4. You know, I have a couple friends as well.
Right.
We all said, that game's going to be pretty. I might as well get it.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? That's the exclusive.
Well, it's
everything
like,
else, like Call of Duty Ghosts came out, right?
Right.
All of my friends have Xbox. They're all clearly going to get Xbox One or 360. Why am I going to buy it to play alone?
Right, yes. Exactly.
So
you
that's what it is.
Really need to watch South Park from last week.
I will.
Two of you really need to watch
all
South
right.
Park from last
I
week.
I will all watch right. South Park.
And this week, because it's a continuation
yes,
of last week.
Yes.
Which is great. I mean, Xbox One, hopefully they ship it to me. I talked to Microsoft customer support.
Right.
Clearly reading
or are
off
you
of
getting it on
somewhere.
Day one?
Yeah, I am getting
you are
day
not.
One. I was promised day one.
Right.
I was.
We'll see.
Getting it.
Where did you get it from? Where did you order it from?
Of course, our Amazon link.
All right. Not at all. That's all right. Okay, cool.
They were sold out by the time
I got
to
Amazon.
Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah. All right, so we'll talk. We'll catch up next week on Xbox. We'll see how it goes.
We'll do a head-to-head.
And we have we have a game stuff this week, too.
Oh, awesome.
Coke Logic is going to talk a little bit about Xbox One.
Cool.
Release and a little bit about the PS4.
I'm excited that I can tell my Xbox to play my PS4. That's what I'm very excited because it has HDMI in, so you can be like, Xbox, play PS4.
There you go.
Be like, are you sure you want to do that?
A perfectly good use for your Xbox.
There you go.
I can't do that for you, scapegoat.
A couple of Kickstarter campaigns that I wanted to mention.
Do you have 1979 on there?
I don't have 1979. All right,
then I'll talk about it later.
So, no, you can bring
from
it up.
From the Smashing Pumpkins?
From Kickstarter. There's a game, 1979 Black Friday, I believe it's called.
Okay.
And it is one of the gentlemen who was head developer on Grand Theft Auto 4, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Like, he worked at Rockstar, a couple other game companies. And it's a Kickstarter game about the revolution in Iran in 1979.
Oh.
And it's actually, it looks really interesting. They already have some actors. They showed the prototype. They're looking for money to back it. And to me, it's an interesting idea because it's a historical or mostly historically accurate based game.
Right.
They have researchers and academics, and he was there and his family was there, you know, so it's a really interesting game. He's already been branded an enemy and spy of the state because he's making it about history. So he can never go back home, but it looks really cool. So I think it's called 1979. If you want to check it out on Kickstarter,
I'll try to post the link in the show notes.
It's going to be iOS, Android, and I believe every other place on the planet. The prototype looks kind of cool. Clearly it's a prototype,
right?
But the idea behind the story and the impact that it can have. And I think most people have no idea what that story is anymore.
Sure.
I think it'd be a really cool thing to check out. So if you can back it, it'd be fun to play on your phone. So yeah.
Just a quick reminder, Project Send, which we've been talking about for a week or two now, or last week, I don't remember if it was the first week, but that is the Mega Man-like side scroller
yes.
game, right? That's being developed by one of the friends of our show, Zach.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. So that of course, if you haven't checked that out yet, please check that out.
That lady is thick.
she is thick. Nine Deadly Killer Pussies. So this is the Eric Scarecrow animated series project. Of course, if you want to know more about the project, go back to our New York Comic Con interviews and listen to the interview with Eric Scarecrow.
Right.
Talk about it in detail. But the Kickstarter campaign has now launched.
So yeah.
You can certainly check that out. And please support that as well.
And we will all be voices on the show. I'm just
kidding. No. And
I want to do it.
I want to do it too.
And there's also a Kickstarter campaign that another listener of the show turned me on to today, because I think he's involved in it, or I know he's involved in it. But it's a documentary about the 30th anniversary of Garbage Pail Kids. So Garbage Pail Kids, 30 years old this year.
Wow.
And there's a documentary that they're putting out. And there's a great Kickstarter campaign for that as well. So I will post the link to all of those. But I was a fan of the Garbage Pail Kids. I mean, I lost track of them at some point, and I never got into like series 30, whatever the fuck they were. But, you know, back in the Adam Bomb days and Glandula Angela and all of those, like the first couple of series, those cards were cool. Did you, either of you, Garbage Pail Kids?
No.
No,
we're straight.
There are a lot of people collected Garbage Pail Kids.
Sure.
It was a very lucrative property for Topps back in the day.
I believe that it was.
And actually, I think Topps has new minifigures coming out as well.
Oh.
But, so yeah, check out all of those, you know, projects. And if you can support them, please support them. And with that, I think we will take our first break.
Let's do it.
And be right back with Big Heads Geek Stuff, episode 309. The heat is on. The road to
Geekfully.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Round 2 of the next generation of games begins this Friday, November 22nd, with the launch of the Xbox One. The Xbox One will run you $500, which is $100 more than the PlayStation 4. And why is that? Because it comes with the Kinect 2 camera. A camera so advanced, the games and system mostly just use the microphone. And I'm not hating on Xbox One, by the way. Notice I haven't called it the X-Bone. The controller seems to be tweaked in about 50 different ways, but seems to be like the old champion of controllers, the Xbox 360 controller. Microsoft is also very proud of their new Snap feature, where you can snap apps like Twitter or Skype onto the side of the screen while you play video games or watch TV. Which is nice, unless you're the type of person who likes to play games to get away from phone calls and social media. Okay, enough of the low blows. Here's the list of launch titles for the Xbox One. Angry Birds, Star Wars, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, Battlefield 4, Call of Duty Ghosts, Crimson Dragon, Dead Rising 3, FIFA 14, Fighter Within, Forza 5, Just Dance 2014, Killer Instinct, Kinect Sports Rivals Preseason, LEGO Marvel Super Heroes, Loco Cycle, Madden NFL 25, NBA 2K14, NBA Live 14, Need for Speed Rivals, Power Star Golf, Rise, Skylander Swap Force, Xbox Fitness, Zoo Tycoon, and Zumba Fitness World Party. The recommended games to pick up for the system are Forza 5, Assassin's Creed 4, Dead Rising 3, and Killer Instinct. And while any Xbox fan will tell you that Rise is the new big game for the system, I'll quote the title of a Game Informer preview. Rise is as fun as dialing phone numbers. How's that? Pretty, yes. Fun? Microsoft is still holding back reviews with their embargoes. And that's always a great sign, right? And I'd like to end on a sour note, just because that seems like a fun thing to do. Some people have pointed out that the majority of games with the Xbox One run at sub-1080p resolutions, some at 720 or 900, and the response from most media outlets have been to mock the very idea, calling this resolution gate and telling people resolution doesn't really matter. Really? It's DVD versus Blu-ray. Not as drastic, but you get the point. Pixels matter, and the more of them, the more information is produced to create a clearer picture. In a few years, 4K televisions will be the standard. Why do we keep going up with numbers? Because textures look crisper, lighting looks more lively. So to say resolution doesn't matter is just a blogger not trying to piss off Microsoft before their big launch. If you're not worried about power and resolutions and frame rates, why not buy an Xbox 360 over an Xbox One? You know exactly why, because it's more powerful. This is what we want. This is what we expect. This is what we pay for. 1080p at 60 frames per second should be the new standard. And I'm sure it will be. After all, these are launch games. Launch games are never technically superior to games further into the generation. But you know what? With all this mad truth that I'm spitting, I hope you have a pre-order, because the Xbox One is in high demand. If you haven't already, you might want to get in line. And finally, Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds is available for the 3DS and 2DS. If you own a 3DS or 2DS, buy this game, blindly if need be. It is a game that is the reason you own this system. Super Mario 3D World is now available for the Wii U. If you bought the Wii U, buy this game. It's the reason you own the system. And Tearaway is available for the PS Vita. It might not be that must-have game, but it looks really fun. Plus, you own a Vita. What else are you gonna buy? This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
This holiday season, prepare for thrills at Geek Flea 6. Free admission and fun for the whole family. Our vendors will have the best toys, comics, and collectibles. Geek Flea is also a marketplace for local artists like photographers, comic creators, painters, jewelry makers, clothing designers, and more. Bring your appetite and feast on sweets and hot sauce. DJs will be spinning all day. Enter a raffle and be the next big winner. Geek Flea 6 is sponsored by Loop Lounge, Paradox Comics, Arcade Jersey City, Comic Explosion, Garden State Roller Girls, and 80stees.com. The table is set and you are invited to the best show on the East Coast. Geek Flea 6. We promise you'll leave stuffed.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 309. What the fuck did we call it again?
In the heat of the road to Geek Flea.
The heat is on the road to Geek Flea.
Okay. Fair enough.
Combining two terrible titles into one.
That's right.
It's better if you add more things.
Well, we were thinking of things that were significant that happened, and the heat is on because it's cold out. Geek Flea is coming up. The other thing that I was thinking of was Knockout, but I thought that might be inappropriate, so I wanted to stay away from it.
Knockout?
Are you not aware of Knockout? No. Knockout is the thing that's going on right now across the country where a young group of youths will randomly target a person on the street and just punch them in the head as hard as they can and try to knock them out in one punch.
No, I haven't heard.
It's going on in New Jersey.
It's called assault and battery.
Yeah, it's going on in New Jersey. It's going on in Pittsburgh, all across the country. Yeah, look
up
some knockout videos.
All the states and places with mischievous douchebags.
Look up Knockout. Look up Knockout videos.
I really don't want to do this. Incognito tab.
When you see the one woman that's carrying the shopping bags hit the ground and her face bounce off the pavement, that'll give you a little insight as to the youth of America today in the year 2013.
78-year-old grandmother becomes latest knockout victim.
Two deaths so far related to this game.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, on a much more happier note.
Jesus.
If there's anything that you'd like to talk about that we talked about thus far in this episode, or perhaps something we're about to talk about, or maybe you have a suggestion for a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you could give us a call over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And with that, we will move forward with the show.
Geek Stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
Five.
Comic books.
Yes, woo! Sir. Yes, sir.
Before we get into what came out this week, I want to just quickly talk about, I read Amazing X-Men number one last week. I had to, because it's the return of Nightcrawler. What a great read.
Is it really?
It's really fun.
Say any of that to me.
Do you know why it's fun? Because
I don't want to read it?
No. Because first of all, it's very funny and it's very tongue-in-cheek. And it's silly in some regards.
Really?
But it's a return to...
Is it Joss Whedon-y?
They're all playing softball?
No. But it's a return
that era.
It's a return to the swashbuckling days of Nightcrawler. As opposed to, like, the very religious, troubled, what am I going to do now? Conflicted.
Why do my
Nightcrawler
sneaker tabs keep sticking to my leg?
But really, I mean, it was a lot of fun. So if you are,
that was,
you
want to check out an X-Men book,
it was a what joke?
Velcro.
Yes. I wanted to talk about shoes. Oh, we'll talk about them in product. You're saying a sneaker tie-in for this. Shoes. But yeah, so check out Amazing X-Men number one. It really is a good read. Shoes. Definitely worth checking out.
Shoes.
Go for it.
Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Now, aside from that being a good book overall, this is a zero-year tie-in.
This is a zero-year tie-in. What dark figure controls the destiny of Jason Todd? And it's clearly, I mean, it's clearly Hush.
Right.
But since Hush was Jason Todd.
But he wasn't really
Jason Todd. But wasn't really Jason Todd. Or was he? Or who? Or what?
No, he was not Jason Todd. He's since been established as a separate character.
James Tynion the IV.
Right.
And Jeremy Hahn.
Right.
Doing the honors here. Art looks very nice.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to reading this zero-year tie-in.
Zero-year been really good.
Still advertising Batman, The Dark Knight Returns, complete edition, coming out October 8th.
Yeah, well, you know.
I can't believe, I still haven't picked that up. Did you get that?
I didn't pick up the complete edition because I have the two separate parts.
I want the complete edition because I heard there's more stuff in it.
But
what is that? What is that? No.
At the back of
hold
this.
Hold on.
That's for, Scott Snyder actually teased that art earlier this week. It's for another Batman storyline, Batman Eternal. That's coming out.
Oh, yeah?
That says Batsgiving.
It says Batsgiving, yes. But
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
But it's part of Batman Eternal, which is another storyline coming out, I think, after Zero Year wraps.
Okay.
But anyway, so that...
Batwoman's getting a little saucy with that woman next day.
That advertisement, of course, is in the back of Harlequin Zero out this week.
Yes, yep. Harlequin Zero.
Jimmy Palmiotti, Amanda Connor.
Look, you couldn't even do it, dude. Amanda Connor, Jimmy Palmiotti, Charlie Allard, Art Balthazar, a friend of ours.
Right.
Becky Cloonan, Darwin Cook, also a friend of the show. Tony Daniel, Sam Keith, also a friend of the show. Bruce Timm, Jim Lee, also a friend of the show. Stephanie Rue, Trado Moore, Chad Harden, Adam Hughes, Dave Johnson, Dan Panosian, Jeremy Roberts, and Walt Simonson.
So there you go.
Also, all of them contributing to this Harley Quinn Zero.
Right, and this is a relaunch of the series. We've been talking about this for a little bit now.
Right.
We've talked about this a couple times now. So, yeah, I actually really want to check that out.
Yeah,
I like Harley Quinn. I didn't really like Suicide Squad that much.
But we should be very clear. This is the new style Harley.
It is new Harley. Well, it's DC 52 Harley.
I know, but I'm so on the fence whether I want to continue with this Harley or not.
I've come to a conclusion regarding the DC universe. There is a random DC character that I absolutely hate. I hate Amanda Waller.
Really?
I hate that character.
Just random?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I've never liked her. And then they actually introduced her on Arrow, which is angering to me. But I've never liked that character. You know, she's the one that heads up Argus and Suicide Squad and all these other ubiquitous clandestine.
Right.
Yeah. I hate her.
Do you really?
How fucking random Why? Are you today?
I know. Just a character
By
I
the way,
just don't
I
like.
I fucking hate this random character. Also in the Batman sphere of things this week, Batman and Two-Face.
So this is continuing the Batman and Robin.
And not Robin.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is the continuation of that numbering.
Batman and.
Right, sans Robin.
Right. Peter J. Tomasi,
right.
Patrick Gleason, and Mick Gray giving us all the writing
so
and art.
So is Two-Face sort of a good guy in this one?
I don't know. You know, I haven't been thrilled with this book since Damian died.
Right.
So I'm. It's kind of like...
Right.
Reading. What is exciting reading, however, Batman Beyond Universe number 4, a whole bunch of people working on this one as well. Let me see if I can get some actual names because they're impossible to read. It looks like, who the hell does the lettering and coloring in this book, for this book? Christos Gage, G-A-G-E, art by... I swear that looks like Ebon Coelho.
Okay.
And a whole bunch of other people.
Aikwaine.
Yeah, I know. I know. As we pay. However, this book has the Justice League of the future in it.
Is it Justice League 3000 or whatever it is?
No, it's the good Justice League that's in this universe.
Okay.
It's really good stuff. It looks like this issue is very much involved in that.
So definitely check that out. The artwork is actually, it's artwork's better than Batman and Two-Face.
All right, fair enough.
So that's something. And something that isn't improving, but apparently isn't going away either. Daredevil, number 33. Still dealing with the monsters. You know, all the Marvel monsters. Wolfman, Frankenstein, Mummy, and whatever the chick vampire is.
Right.
So he's still dealing with them. The art is haphazard.
Okay.
By Jason Copeland. Written by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. It's Mark Waid's weakest book by far.
In your opinion.
Do you think he has a weaker book?
No, but I know, but there are people I know that actually talk about that book and rather enjoy it. So I see people talk about it every Wednesday when it comes out.
Oh, really?
You know, there's a lot of, you know, what books are you getting today on Wednesdays on Twitter?
Yes.
So, but yes, anyway.
Well, this, I mean, and now with the inclusion of the Marvel monsters, it's just, ugh. I really wish something extraordinary would happen in this book or this book would end.
Okay. But
they can't keep going both ways though.
Fair enough.
What did you have any additional titles?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No? Nothing?
No. Nope.
Yeah. Well, I bet you're going to read this if you haven't already. In trades this week, two from Dark Horse, Star Wars Legacy Volume 2, Volume 1.
Well, I'm not going to read that because I've been reading the individual issues. So I've read those already.
Right, but which is surprising because you're sense. A dirty trader waiter on most of this stuff. But
I loved Legacy so much, first one.
I know.
That I was drawn into it when a new one relaunched, and I've just stuck with it.
Right. So there you go. This one, Corina Bechko and Gabriel Hardman. Nice art from what OG says. Pretty good story. Would you say it's as good as the other one?
No.
Not as good as the first
Not one. As good as the other one. But, really? But good.
Okay, I'll take that. But I'll good. Take that over shit.
The other one was really... First of all, Han Solo's great-granddaughter, or whatever she is just not nearly as interesting as Luke Skywalker's great-great-grandson.
Not yet.
There's just a different... No. Cade Skywalker was an interesting character from the first panel in the first issue. And that story just excelled all the way through the arc. She's a good character. She's not bad. There's some interesting stuff that's going on. But, I don't know, she's just...
Meh.
She's not as good. Definitely worth reading, just not as good.
Gotcha. Lastly, also from Dark Horse, from the creator of Hellboy, Mike Mignola, and Christopher Golden, which it's always exciting to see Christopher Golden do something other than that Space Bunny.
Okay.
What the heck was that Space Bunny?
I cannot remember. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I can picture it. But...
Bucky O'Hare.
There you go.
This is Baltimore, A Passing Stranger and Other Stories.
Okay.
This is not in the Hellboy universe, but surprisingly a lot like Hellboy.
Well, of course.
That being said,
Speaking
let's see.
Of Hellboy, yes. There was a BPRD book that came out this week. Wasn't there? A single issue book?
I don't read any of
that.
Oh,
I thought
stuff.
You read BPRD.
No, story. No, not single. Okay. No.
Oh, okay.
No, my friend. I'm trying to see if this lets me know if this collects certain things. This is Baltimore Volume 3, A Passing Stranger and Other Stories.
That's Volume 3.
This is Volume 3. Jesus this volume Christmas. Collects Baltimore, The Widow and the Tank, Baltimore, A Passing Stranger from Free Comic Book Day 2011.
Okay.
Baltimore, The Play.
All right.
Baltimore, Dr. Lebkovar's Remedy, number 1 and 2, and Baltimore the Inquisitor, all published by Dark Horse. So it's a lot of one-off Baltimore stuff.
Okay.
Again, Baltimore is another character. He's not like Hellboy. It's a bit harder to describe than that, but it still is really a terrific character.
All right.
So if you want to check it out, this is Volume 3. I'm quite sure you could still pick up volumes 1 and 2.
I'm sure. And you should pick
the hardcover. Yes, sir.
You should pick them up through our Amazon link.
Yes, of course you should. $24.99 for this hardcover trade. And on the Star Wars bit, $19.99.
Lovely.
Yeah, two really great books. I'm actually very excited to get to read both of these.
Quick Star Wars.
Because I didn't do Legacy. The issues individually. Right. So
quick Star Wars comic book thing. 2014 is when the contract expires with Dark Horse. Yet to see if it will be renewed.
Right.
So there you go.
What do you think?
Absolutely, if the books continue to be successful.
You think so? You don't think it just goes to Marvel?
No.
Here's hoping it doesn't.
No.
Did you ever read those Marvel Star Wars books?
They were terrible.
Awful.
But Disney is smart in some regards, insofar as if it's not broke.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think if they feel like they're still successful, it's not like, for example, Disney is not going to suddenly take the Lucas license away from Hasbro and start developing Star Wars toys in-house. Now, they might start doing stuff in-house.
No, well, but, some.
Right. But they're not going to replace the Hasbro things. It's not broke.
Hasbro makes the stuff for Disney.
Right. Because Disney now owns it.
No. Before.
They made the stuff for Lucas before.
No. Hasbro made the stuff that appeared in the parks.
Are you sure about that?
Absolutely sure.
Not all of their, not like the pirate stuff. That was all developed.
No. Hasbro makes the Star Wars stuff that appears in the Disney parks.
Right. I understand that.
Yes.
But now that Disney fully owns Lucas.
Right.
Before it was just a partnership.
Yes. I got it.
I don't foresee Disney taking it away from Hasbro to do it in-house or change it because it's not broke.
Exactly.
So my point is I could see them sticking with Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Because it's working and there's a built-in.
Okay.
History
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but they also have Marvel.
Yes, I understand.
Marvel also.
No. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm just saying. What'd you say?
Marvel also done by Hasbro.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, but Hasbro not owned by Disney yet.
Not yet.
Have we significantly confused everyone?
That's
yet?
The next step in the coming apocalypse. all right, let's move past comics and into the rest of the show.
Geek stuff, product reviews.
Five.
So we have a couple of different things this week.
Yes.
I was going to talk Star Wars Black Series 2, but because I haven't had a chance to open them up and play with them yet, I'll save it for next week.
Oh, the 6-inch.
The 6-inch.
Yeah.
I want to save them for next week because I want to actually tinker with them.
Yeah, they're pretty nice. I got to tell you. That Greedo is
all right.
Pretty phenomenal.
So when I saw people posting photos when they had gotten them over the past 2 weeks, I was like, Leia still looks like she's trying to take a ship but can't. Han Solo still looks like he suffered a stroke.
Really?
But now that I have them in hand, I think they don't photograph well.
Maybe.
Like at all.
Yeah.
Because the Hasbro shots did not look good. The personal shots that I saw people did not look good. But actually in hand, they look pretty good.
Yeah.
They look better.
The Han is really great.
Yeah, I thought he was Han Solo for a while. Calling back to that.
I want to say that what people are calling the weakest one in the line, Greedo, I think is an achievement.
Well, here is my problem with Greedo. I almost didn't want to get Greedo if I wasn't going to get Han Solo.
Sure.
Because in my brain, it's...
Yeah.
It fits.
Package deal.
Right. It's the same reason I decided to get Luke from the first line.
Right.
Because I was getting R2, and there was something iconic about the two together.
I'll tell you, I'm getting all of these in the 6-inch. If there's a line of me that all of them of, it's going to be these.
See, now the third wave already has a Luke repeat.
Not a repeat.
It's a repeat in that it's Luke,
Correct.
X week. I don't know. I don't know that I need Bespin Luke. Isn't that what it is? Isn't it a Bespin?
No, Bespin Luke, I don't think he's in the third wave of 6-inch. He's in the fourth wave of
3¾.
3¾. Okay. We saw him at
I might eventually get Jedi Luke, but I don't know if I need Bespin Luke. That's all I'm saying.
If that's who ends up being in the 6-inch, you mean. Well, the Stormtrooper, I think, is next.
I will get the Stormtrooper.
And I can't remember.
Amidala, isn't she in the next wave?
Is Amidala or is it Obi-Wan?
No, I think it's Amidala.
Is it Amidala?
I think. Anyway.
Whoever.
So.
I'll tell you who it isn't. Chewbacca.
It is not Chewbacca.
But they are doing a speeder bike.
They really should. They need to rush Chewbacca in 3PO, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. But, I agree.
But, all right. So you have that, and then we have those. So let's do that first.
Let's do this.
Greg Capullo.
This is a quickie.
Finally getting his day.
I know.
How many years has it been now? 3-4 years that I've been saying it?
Quit a few. This is the latest Batman black and white.
Right.
Statue in the long running series. My God, I feel like we've been covering these for 35 years.
Probably have been.
And this one is based on the art of Greg Capullo, sculpted by Jonathan Matthews. And I'm going to tell you something that's pretty shocking to you, OG.
It's what?
It's disappointing.
Really?
Yep. I really feel it's
the new 52 costume.
Yeah.
My only issue with it,
look at it.
My only issue with it is I feel as though the pose is not nearly dynamic enough.
Right.
For what Greg Capullo has done for Batman.
And considering the poses we've been getting lately.
The Jacques one.
I know, ridiculous. Just as one example.
Yeah.
But there are others.
You know what? It's weird because it's not only is it not dynamic, right? But it's also not that great.
Yeah.
It's not like the Mignola one is not dynamic.
Right.
But it's that very like stature kind of looming.
It has presence.
It really feels like Mike Mignola. Yeah.
This is like I just leaped off a building and I'm squatting.
You know what it looks? Well,
or I have to poo.
This one. This one right here.
Uh-huh.
This one looks like special Batman, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Can I see the box too?
Batman.
let me see.
That's terrible.
But I'm right. I'm not. I know. I'm going to hell, but I'm already going. So, that's what it looks like to me, especially in that one photograph.
He could potentially, based on this photograph, sword class. I'm just. It's possible that he does have a job.
Awful.
And
you're
pay taxes.
An awful person, OG.
Okay. And so the sad part about this is this should be amazing. We're going to move
it
past
It should
this.
Be.
This should be amazing because the next one that Capullo has coming out looks pretty good. I mean, I'm going to complain about it because it's not Batman.
Which was what, the Joker?
The Joker piece.
Actually, already came out.
Oh, did that come out?
Yeah,
already?
That would have been last week we would have talked about that. Okay. Yeah, so actually, I'll bring that along next week and we can look at it. That is
awesome.
Amazing.
And you would want these two to be great.
Amazing. So who do we blame
companion
here?
Companion piece.
Do we blame Matthews?
The sculptor.
Which is kind of rough because we have liked a lot of Jonathan Matthews' works in this line. Here.
I don't think that he captured Greg Capullo's work very well with this statue.
No, I totally agree. And it's the first one I feel that's kind of have...
Yeah. And it's a shame.
Kind of failed.
It's a shame because I've been really looking forward to this.
I know. But we have to say this too. There's a lot of things besides Matthews. Like, for one, the costume is not really dynamic.
Well, it's the new 52 costume.
I know. But the problem with the new 52 costume is it's kind of blah.
I don't know. It's kind of bland. It's generic iconic.
But you know what? They could have juiced it up with some some shading.
Really,
you know?
In the black and white.
Well,
they could add a little color there.
I think the costume is okay. I just think the pose is weak. And I think he doesn't capture. It's in the face. It's
I know.
The chin.
Yeah.
It's
he
something
just doesn't
is
have
not
it.
Right.
Doesn't
yeah.
have it.
Something is not right.
And then back on the back here is listed based on the art of Greg Capullo, the Joker, and Batman. Arkham Origins Batman. I don't think that one's come out yet. I don't think.
Probably not.
Because we haven't talked about it on the show. We've talked about every single one. This one not numbered either. I'm guessing that's dead in the water. These run, what, about $79 and change now? So about $80. Check it out at your local comic book store, your local product purveyor, or
our Amazon
you can
link.
Go to dccomics.com, all one word, and you can see all of that stuff over dark.
And you can buy this via Amazon. So go
yes,
there and buy it.
With
Amazon
our
link.
With our link. All right. The last thing we have.
Or you can go to. Oh, no.
No. The last thing we have is pretty exciting. This is the Power Lords, the first set of figures from the Four Horsemen. Now, for those of you not familiar with
Power
Lords.
Well, it's actually the first set and that one.
It's the
right?
first three figures that we have. Yeah. For those of you who don't remember the Power Lords, early
and
80s.
None of you will.
Early 80s.
Uh-huh.
Revell.
Right.
Was the company that put them out.
Revell.
And there was no backstory outside of what Revell had created initially.
I don't think so.
DC in the mid 80s, 84, 85, somewhere, 83, somewhere in there, put out a miniseries based on the Power Lords. Six issues, five issues, something along those lines. Which kind of then built on top of what had already been established by Revell.
Right.
But the Four Horsemen, another license that they've scooped up from the past.
Yeah.
And are bringing back to us. So we have the first three figures here. It is the Power Soldier, which is the black figure with the red highlights.
Right. Uh-huh.
The elite power soldier.
Now, these are like three. Are these 3¾? Are they 4-inch?
No, I think they're bigger than 3¾. Turn around. There should be a 3¾.
Oh, there is.
Darth Maul figure on that shelf somewhere. That
you can,
or,
Vader.
Yeah, or Vader.
Vader.
I think they're a little bit bigger than 3¾.
No, they aren't. Sir.
Are they're 3¾?
No, they're. Hold on. I'm going toe to toe here. No, he is shorter than Vader. That is a 3¾ figure.
Okay, perfect.
Unless there's something I'm missing.
Yeah. And then the third figure that we have is the Graptic Grunt, which I believe was a New York Comic Con exclusive.
I believe you're correct. Now, I don't know. Is that final production on that? Because that looks like a...
I think so.
Really?
I think so.
Because it's like three colors.
Yes, I know, but that's the design of the character. There's another version of this piece as well that is the opposite. That's purple and pink. And has a different staff.
I don't know. I don't know. It's confusing a little to me.
But I like the Power Lords. It was a vague recollection that I had, right? I remember the comic book.
I remember the one dude.
The Adam Power.
Yeah.
With the
blue.
Yeah, the blue.
He didn't have a front like that snapped on.
Yeah.
Snapped it off and he was like blue inside.
Yeah.
And I remember this other guy, he kind of looked like a pterodactyl.
Yep. They've already started sculpting that piece that's coming out.
And he had like weird silver guns that kind of like slid into his arms. Weird.
They were bizarre.
Yeah,
they were bizarre, really bizarre. Kind of cool sci-fi toys. And again, I like these. I think I like them for the nostalgia factor. I like that Four Horsemen is going back to these old licenses.
Right.
And doing the same way they did with the Outer Space.
I really like the soldier pieces.
Well, those are awesome army builder pieces.
Right. So
you
those
easily
are,
have a billion of those on display. Right.
I would like to get another black one. So all that right. I can have like the leader guy, white with the two blackies
and
behind
like the
him.
The two I don't want to phrase it that way, but
what?
The white guy
in front, then two blacks behind him.
Yeah, that's
what's wrong with that? That's what they are.
You said the blackies. I'm just saying.
What?
But
speaking of 12 Years a Slave,
but speaking of Knockout, but they are great little figures. They are awesome figures.
And Horsemen are doing
an awesome job.
Is this the? Now I'm going to do the unthinkable, and I'm going to open this little package.
Yeah, go for it.
Because I have to know.
Yeah, of course.
But is this the Glios?
I want to say yes. You know, I did open up my Elite, but I hadn't tried popping any of the joints off.
let's do that now. What also makes these very exciting is they have some accessories.
It looks like it's Glios compatible.
You know what? I want to say this also. These were not this scale. They were 6-inch scale.
I think they were bigger.
When OG was young.
I believe that they were 6-inch
scale. I wasn't born when these came out, but OG was clearly around.
You were born, died, and rose again.
Nice.
Wow, hurtful. I don't know if
yes, the head definitely pops off.
Oh, and is it Glios?
I believe it is. I don't know about the arm joints though. And I don't want to break it.
Go ahead, pull on.
No.
Just see what happens.
I'm not busting mine for the sake of you. No, I'm not doing it. Does it pop off?
It does.
Okay, so there you go.
So
oh yeah, look, the waist. Yeah, it's Glios compatible.
So absolutely. That's awesome.
So you can mix and match these with even your outer spaceman.
I wouldn't do that, but okay. Yeah, really great articulation, great sculpt, obviously, coming from the Four Horsemen. Great accessories. The soldiers both come with some sort of gun.
And a staff. Yep.
Yeah, I like that. I like these a lot. And I have to be honest, I don't remember a goddamn thing about these.
Well, I'm going to say,
yes.
Even if you weren't a Power Lords fan, or even if you don't remember Power Lords.
No, that doesn't mean you can't
You
like
need
these.
To check these out.
Oh, absolutely.
The designs are really nice.
Yeah. But this is what I said to Cornboy since we're opening the discussion about this. So after Cornboy had ubiquitously told us about these, and said you were not to say anything, like one of those conversations. My first conversation with him was
who?
So not who, because I knew. I mean, I remember those two characters.
Right.
I'm even sure I had them. I'm even sure I still have somewhere a couple of those silver guns.
Okay.
I'm really sure that I do. I don't know where on earth they could in one of my bits boxes from years gone by.
Right.
I'm sure I have them somewhere. No, what I said to him was, this is a really obscure license from the 80s. I mean, this goes, I mean, as obscure as Outer Spacemen are.
Right.
Right. But they're from the 60s even.
Sure.
Right. For the 80s, as many properties as there were in the 80s, this is some really obscure shit.
Sure.
I mean, this is, you're talking like Blip and Gone.
Yep.
Like, I barely remember these being like around other than that. And what made it the most memorable was that whatever his name is, Max Power.
Adam Power.
Adam Power. Was that it was such a weird figure in the 80s. You were like, what?
Right. Again, I remember the comic because they were in quarter bins for years.
Yeah. I mean,
like, I think at one point in time I had a run of the series because it was like, oh, this kind of looks cool and it's 25. I get the entire run for a buck and a half.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
In the nickel bin.
Yeah. I mean,
when there was, you know,
the Mike Carbonaro
exactly.
Nickel bin days.
Exactly. But like that, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, I never bothered to find out anything about the characters because short of the one interesting thing that I found about them, I didn't care. I don't remember there being these soldiers, right? Did they do these soldiers back in the day?
I don't know if the figures were done because I don't think they were. I only remember the Adam Power figure.
And I remember the two. Right. I remember that one that looks like a pterodactyl guy.
But I remember the book.
Right. So there's material out there. That's right. Fine. What I said to Cornboy was, hey, did you consider like Sektars? Did you consider even the Visionaries?
Who knows? Knights, maybe someone else has the licenses.
Knights of the Magical Light.
There you go.
I mean, those were just the two. The Sektars came to my head first because if the Four Horsemen got a hold of Sektars,
right.
I would own every single piece that they made.
All right.
I thought they were awesome.
I'm going to briefly.
Briefly,
you the flavor text for the series.
Hook you, OG.
For the,
who you making fun of Briefly?
I'm gonna briefly read the
flavor text.
The flavor text for the line.
Flavor,
and
flavor.
Then again,
I'm gonna translate it forward. For some of our listeners.
The Mayan year.
The Mayan year.
13.000 has begun.
0.00 begun.
As foretold in 669 AD.
As foretold in the 69 DT.
By the famous prophecy carved into Monument 6 in the Mayan site of Tortuguero, this date signals the return of Bolin Yukdeku, the Nine Lords of Power.
Wow.
It is therefore with deep. Great reverence that the Four Horsemen of the Toy Apocalypse hereby proclaim the return of the Power Lords.
What is so this? What is this? Wheel of Time?
It like... is a wheel. No, it's a Wheel of Time. All right, so anyway, check out Star Horsemen. Listen. Check out the Four Horsemen. Power Lords return.
All kidding aside, here's what makes these really interesting. Here's what makes these really interesting to me. I don't have any knowledge, recollection, or whatever, but now I want to find out more.
Absolutely.
Now that I've seen the great figures that they're doing, now I want to know more.
There you go.
Now I want to find out what I missed.
All right.
Now I want to find the nickel bins, which
now
doesn't
you can't
exist
wait for
anymore.
The rest of these to come from the Horsemen.
No, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
And now I want to find out, like, where all these, what is the backstory? I actually want to find out
sure.
now where in the 80s I could give a shit.
Right.
Now I'm interested. And they don't pick things lightly, the Four Horsemen.
I know.
And therefore, that alone gives me interest enough to say, I got to go find out more about these.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of where I'm at.
I concur.
And if they don't do, what's the series that we keep talking about?
I never
listen.
Remember it, but.
Oh, man. What's it called?
The cool one. Magus, Magnum Core,
Magma Core.
Magma Core,
yeah. They don't do Magma Core in 3 3/4, I'm going to kill him myself.
One more thing I wanted to bring up in product, moving yes. past the Horseman. Friend of the show, Dickie Page, has a new figure coming out tomorrow, the Sugar Plum.
Oh, yes,
so,
I saw that.
So check that out online. It's a limited release. Of course, hand-cast, hand-painted by
Dickie Page,
himself, so.
Where is...
Umitoys.net.
Dickie Page, where is my Jawa? And why haven't we talked about a gun in a while? That's it. Those two secret messages for Dickie Page.
And of course, at the hour and 20 mark...
Yep.
Well, there's a lot of space in there. We can cut out a lot of scapegoat stuff.
We should talk about Suburban Vinyl.
Wow, still?
In Waldwick, New Jersey.
Nice.
Suburbanvinyl.com. Be sure to check them out.
Do it.
Yes.
If you're in the area, stop in the store. Of course, there is a coupon code.
Big Kev.
And that will get you.
If I understood it from last week's show, it's 10% off your entire order.
That's right. And I want to say something that I'm really looking forward to that I know that they're going to have next week. Kid Robot, in conjunction with the Keith Haring Foundation, is putting out a couple of figures.
Really?
Their monies, but with Keith Haring's design on them. And it part of the proceeds go to the Red Foundation, the charity that supports AIDS research and stuff like that. So the figures look really cool. I spoke to Smack today to confirm that they were going to have them, and they are going to have them in the shop. So that release is November 30th.
Gee, are you getting those, OG?
What do you think? So be sure to go over to suburbanmodern.com and check those out when they come out next week.
Nisei.
And of course, buy lots of good stuff from them.
Yes, of course you should. You wanna help out the sponsors. You wanna support them. By supporting the sponsors, you support the show.
Of course.
By supporting the show, you support yourself.
Of course.
In some way.
And with that said.
Yes, OG.
Don't forget.
You can
check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
I would get that.
Also at our Facebook page, Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff.
I'm busy thinking of who died this week.
YouTube channel, BKGeekStuff.
What else?
On Twitter.
BKGeekStuff.
BKGeekStuff. GeekStuff OG.
And Scapegoat GS.
Right, but I'm the only one that actually tweets, so don't follow the other two.
Hey, follow us, and I assure you, your timeline will not explode.
There you go. Fair enough. And I think just for good measure, one more time, of course, if you'd like to leave a voicemail for us to play on the show, the GVM line
is 425-920-6050. Put that in your phone and dial it.
There you go.
Hey, by the way, you never got back to me. I found like five of those Mauser packs one day, and I wasn't sure if you still needed them or not.
I found one. I have one.
Oh, one.
Maybe at least one or two more. I'm thinking about it.
Did I say this before when we were on or off?
When we were off.
It looks really awesome.
Yeah, so when I get the other pack, I'll work in the other two, and then I'll continue to go from there.
You usually get enough packs where you can have every different...
I know.
Incarnation fighting Mausers.
Fighting Mausers.
That would be really cool.
So yes, that's it.
Yes. And with that, OG, we will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff the way we end all episodes, by saying goodnight, Diane Disney Miller, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.